Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And we're back. Hard to believe the end of May as we get you started on another edition of Around the Nest. Tyler Zickel from the Vancouver Canadiens coming to you from Spokane Valley, Washington, where the High A Canadiens are taking on the High A affiliate of the Colorado Rockies. Those are the Spokane Indians, which we'll talk about as this episode continues. But very excited for this edition of Around the Nest. We've got a newcomer making his debut in AA, and of course, the esteemed fourth voice of the Buffalo Bisons in the modern era, Pat Malacaro. Pat, good day to you. As always, we start at the top rung of the ladder. We are all trying to manifest our way up through the system, and we all look up to you, my friend. Welcome back.
Good to chat with you, Tyler. As many miles apart as we are, it's good to see you and chat with you as always, and happy to see that good things are happening throughout the organization.
It has been a much better month of May up and down, and specifically for your Bisons as you check in from Allentown, PA, midst of a road trip taking on the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. I learned this late last night when I was putting together our show rundown. Sic Semper Tyrannis, really? John Wilkes Booth's famous motto is also the city motto for Allentown. So what a way to start.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting setup here in Lehigh Valley. Always love coming to this ballpark. There's usually a big crowd. We had a kids' day game here on Tuesday. Unfortunately, the Bisons couldn't hold their lead. But you talk about a team that's really finding its stride right now. Two of the top five in on-base percentage in the league here in the International League, Rafael Antigua and Spencer Horwitz, both leading at the top of the order. So one of the reasons why the Bisons have been so successful the last 3 weeks since the last time we talked is because so many have been getting on base. And sure, it's fun when you have those walk-off victories, and it's always exciting when you can pull out those last-minute heroics. But really, it's been the team putting in the effort offensively that has really carried the way and has allowed the pitching to kind of find its footing the last week or so.
Let's go micro before we go macro. I want to talk about the fun you had last night, a big romp, also some great success from Yosfer Zulueta after giving up a run in the first. He gets his first AAA win, if my memory serves me well. Jimmy Burnett seeing some action, that's fantastic. And then we can zoom out and talk about the May flowers that have bloomed after the April showers. But what was fun about last night's game?
A lot of what you just mentioned, but also Bowden Francis coming off the injured list and making the start for the first time in nearly 2 months. And he looked like the Bowden Francis that pitched to 10 victories across his time in Nashville and with the Herd in 2021. You know, last year really was a stumbling block for Bowden. But in spring training this year, he pitched so well, mid to upper 90s fastball with some good breaking stuff. That's what we saw yesterday. Said he felt really good after the start. He was dealing with a little bit of an arm issue on his pitching arm that kept him on the shelf since April the 8th. So to see him pitch well yesterday, you mentioned the AAA debut for Jimmy Burnett, pitched so well. Yosfer Zulueta, look, he's going to be in a bulk role now. He's not necessarily going to be a starter, but 2 to 3 innings, middle of the game type of guy, something that the Blue Jays probably really want to see going forward from a lot of their pitchers if they're going to make their major league debut or stick in the big leagues. And it was the fastball and the breaking stuff and the consistency of Zulueta last night, something that he's really going to have to figure out if he wants to put together a couple of appearances back-to-back-to-back and, you know, give the Blue Jays something to think about. Because if you look at his season so far, it's been very inconsistent, and maybe you're going to see that out of somebody still in their early 20s, but I'm sure certainly the Blue Jays think yesterday was a good step forward and something Zulueta can build off of.
What do you think has been the key to success this month of May? I think everybody was frustrated in April and certainly not playing to the level of talent that was on the roster for the Bisons. Of course, awful start to the year in terms of the weather. That's going to throw anybody for a loop. In fact, we saw it a little bit for the Canadians in High A as well. What's been the key to success in May where things really have turned around? You see the Bisons in the top five in the International League in a lot of offensive categories, most notably batting average. As tired as that stat may be in 2023, good barometer of some success.
It is. And I think the team is playing all around better baseball. And I think, you know, the fundamentals really play into how you don't give team extra outs. And we've seen when the Bisons have lost games recently, it's because they're committing 3, 4, 5 errors in a game and they're allowing the other team to get extra opportunities. When the Bisons aren't giving up errors, it's quite simple to say they're not allowing the team extra opportunities because it's allowed the pitching, as I kind of mentioned, you know, the pitching has finally found its way in terms of not just the bullpen, but, you know, Casey Lawrence every 5 days has given you 5 or 6 innings. Now Zach Thompson, who is scheduled to start as we record this tonight, he's going 5 or 6 innings in appearance. Drew Hutchinson won each of his 2 starts last week. So now that you're getting consistent starting pitching, the bullpen, the bulk relievers don't have to throw every 2 days, every other day, back to back, whatever. And I think you're seeing a fresher bullpen and a fresher pitching staff. And then the offense has found its legs. A lot of guys we talked about in the first month of the year who had a cup of coffee in AAA last year. And Trevor Schwecke, somebody just brought up from AA yesterday, appeared in 19 games with the Bison at the end of last year. He, Davis Schneider, Addison Barger, you know, they were going to be counted on to be big presences in the Bison's lineup this year. Well, Barger's been injured for about a month now, and he's hoping to be back with Buffalo very soon. But Davis Schneider has been a revelation. With now 9 home runs on the season, he and Spencer Horwitz have really tagged up to be the 3-4 guys in the batting order. And that's a formidable punch when you add somebody who, for Spencer, he now has more walks already this year with Buffalo in about 2/3 the amount of games he had last year. So it's not only that his batting average is good, his on-base percentage is almost 100 points better, and his OPS is better than last year. He's seeing the ball a lot better at the plate, and that has allowed guys in front of him and behind him to get aboard, to be cashed in, and then it's the cumulative effect of allowing other guys to kind of find their legs as he's helping lead the middle of the offense.
It sounds like Spencer Horwitz is going back to his 2021 form when he was with Vancouver in High A. He set the Northwest League record with a 28-game hitting streak, walked a whole bunch, and was named the team, or I should say the league's most exciting big league prospect coming out of nowhere. And then, of course, that all kind of started things for him. 2022, that breakout season, a ranked prospect, now a stalwart in AAA. And it seems like his approach is going back to taking pitches and really trusting his discerning batter's eye, where in 2022, perhaps the emphasis had been a little bit more on take those big hacks, use the power that he has with his good frame. But now it seems like from an up to a down to a middle, he's getting the best of both worlds.
And we're seeing a shift, and we've seen it for years, where you're not expecting your first baseman to necessarily hit 25, 30 home runs or more in the big league. We're seeing, I can go back to guys like Raleigh Tellez, who are now having very good offensive years in the big leagues. But, you know, here with the Bisons, Raleigh Tellez is more like a gap-to-gap guy. He added 10, 12 home runs, sure, but the power came later. So for Spencer, I think just getting aboard and that new type of, you know, not looking at position players the way we used to is really important. And getting on base and giving your team an opportunity because, look, he's probably not going to be a 3, 4, 5 guy at least immediately in the big league. He might be a back of your starting lineup, 7, 8, 9. If he's getting on base, well, then he's setting the table for the guys at the top of the order again who are going to be able to drive him in. So you want that guy to get on base, whether it's at first. He'll get a start in left field tonight. We've seen him play the outfield a little bit. Again, reimagining a little bit the way you may look at your players traditionally, and that really benefits Horwitz and what he brings to the table.
Speaking of guys bringing things to the table, Rafael Antigua has brought appetizer, main course, and dessert each and every night to the proverbial table for the Bisons. I mean, we saw him in High A Vancouver 2 years ago when the team was playing out of Hillsboro. Very solid, but not an everyday guy. And, you know, when you get your everyday opportunities, your talent is going to emerge. And that seems to be the case for Rafael Antigua. He has played his way into a top-of-the-order stalwart and a guy who you can lean on to really do a little bit of everything, including steal home.
And I think that is kind of what this Bison team it is that they are a team that, yes, there's some top prospects that will be here and there throughout the course of the season, but there are a lot of scrappy players. I mentioned Davis Schneider, Rafael Antigua. You know, these guys have had to work and earn everything they have, every success they've had to earn it. They've had to earn it the hard way. So I think having Lantigua at the top of the order, he's walked 8 times already in this series, had a 3-for-3 day at the plate yesterday, in addition to his walks. And you mentioned the straight steal of home where both he and Jake McGuigan, who were watching the left-handed reliever, Jacob Hernandez, on the mound, saw slow movement to the plate, saw that he wasn't paying attention to Lantigua. The way that Devon White last year had Lantigua, oh, by the way, had a straight steal of home last year as well. Those are the things that Devon White was seeing last year and would impress on the young players. And now Jake McGuigan, who is coaching over at third, kind of learning under what Devo was teaching last year, and now into his third year here with the Bisons, has been a valuable resource, now coaching at third base. So another guy who has had to work for everything that he's earned so far. And really, I think this Bison team takes on that mentality of, look, we're going to have to go earn everything we have. We may not win this first half because we're in such a deep hole and Norfolk has such a big lead. But if we can make a run at the start of the second half, set ourselves up in a good position, we could be right in there for that second half championship and be playing for the IL crown overall. So I think Lantigua really, really exemplifies what this Bison team really is this year.
We have some exciting game-changing speed and base-running instincts at just about every level of the full-season ladder. You see it in Double-A with Stuart Baroa, and in High-A, Desaun Brown, who really had a breakout 2022. He's among Northwest League leaders with stolen bases, so a guy who is letting his speed emerge despite a slow start to his season here with the Canadians. A guy who's not necessarily known for his speed, Pat, but known for his bat and really just his overall ability to be that tenacious out is Tanner Morris, somebody who's had kind of stops and starts in AAA. He was great with the C's in High-A in 2021. He was, in fact, postseason All-Star 2022 with the Fisher Cats and a little bit of cup of coffee in AAA. Saw some stuff, but he's been hurt, and the bat hadn't been there. But of late, he seems to really be coming out of it.
Yeah, another player that really struggled in April, at one point was on the development list for about a week, and I'm sure the doubt started to creep into his mind of, you know, where is this going to go for me in the future? But he's now riding an 11-game hitting streak, and a left-handed bat that can go at the top of the order. You can bring him in at the bottom of the card. He can play all over the place on the diamond as well. So in the one thing that going into last year, when right before he came to Buffalo, the thing he kept hearing was he's very cerebral, something you'd expect out of somebody from the University of Virginia. We saw that with Ernie Clement, who was one of the most prolific eyes at the plate in his college career. Tanner Morris kind of cut from the same cloth in terms of plate selection and really good on base percentage in his time at the other levels of the organization. We're starting to see that pitch selection a lot better for Morris this year. And since coming off the development list, a lot of guys got right at the end of that Gwinnett series and have been able to catapult that into a strong May, and certainly hitting at one point in like the 380s this month, Morris was. And I think in the 11-game hitting streak, he's hitting 387 right now, 378. So the results are there. And I think the familiarity, the one thing we've talked about is a lot of guys that spent time last year in Double-A, well, they're back with Matt Haig this year, the Bison's hitting coach. And I think Corey Hart did a great job. And I don't throw that word around lightly. He did a great job here over his 3 seasons with the Bisons. I think now Matt Haig, having worked up through the levels with a lot of these players, the familiarity that he has and the ability for him to see certain things or tell a player, hey, I think this approach worked better when you did it like this, has really been a steadying influence for guys that may have really hit the panic button and not found a way out of it. I think having that comfort level with Matt Haig really has allowed them to not hit panic all that hard and not really press too much when things seem like they're not going to get better.
Leave it to me to ask you this, but is Tanner Morris still coming up to Mountain Music?
Yes, yeah.
Classic. Crozet, Virginia's finest. Play me that mountain music. Gosh, Tanner Morris. Shout out to Timo. We go from the plate to the mound. I pay attention to Bison's baseball, but not dialed in every single night. And two names that really jumped out for me from the pitching staff are names I didn't really know. Kyle Johnston and Paul Fry, a couple of guys seemingly new finds for the Blue Jays and having terrific months of May.
Yeah, for Kyle Johnston, look, he's somebody who's been around the organization ever since being acquired for Daniel Hudson in 2019. and really struggled last year. He had a breakout 2021 with New Hampshire, came up to Buffalo at the end of the season in mid-August. I have to kind of reset my thinking of when the end of the season is, so I apologize. But, you know, came up in late August and pitched almost lights out. A couple of victories, sub-2 ERA. Last year at the start of the season was back at that form, but really struggled. And I think somebody that was trying to find his way over the second half of last year, start of the year on the injured list, really just wasn't right in spring training this year. Took some time, and the stuff isn't as electric maybe as it used to be. And I don't mean to sound negative, but the fastball used to live 94 to 96. Now it's sitting 92 to 93. But I think he's a better pitcher. And I think that's one thing Kyle Johnson has figured out is, okay, if I don't have that blowaway stuff and my breaking stuff is having to be that much better, my changeup is going to have to be a dominant pitch, how am I going to be able to pitch instead of throw? And I think that's what we've seen in this limited time so far since coming off the IL. And that has just meant very good things for this Bison bullpen. And you mentioned Paul Fry. Look, I think he's one of these veteran relievers. He's got a lot of big league time with Baltimore, a little bit of time with Arizona last year, but almost all of it came through the Orioles organization. He's a lefty who can solidify the back of the bullpen. You have guys like him, Jay Jackson, also Thomas Hatch, even though he's been an org guy, an organizational guy for several years now after, you know, coming over in the Cubs trade. You've got a lot of veteran pitchers who can potentially come up. Now, Paul Fry's not on the 40 man, but you can make a spot for him if you need a lefty in the bullpen, because he's had one bad outing really recently. And it kind of, it's one of those where you threw good pitches, just the results weren't there and you move on from it. But he's been a guy who was 4-for-4 and save opportunities before this week. And I think when you talk about the veteran depth that can help at the big league level, that's exactly what the Blue Jays saw in Paul Fry this offseason. And he has definitely delivered in spades.
You bring up a great point, Pat, talking about big league contributions, guys who can make that jump. And I think it's the perfect time for Buffalo to have turned the corner this month of May as the big league club goes through their biggest struggles that they've gone through in John Schneider's tenure. I saw a stat, I think yesterday, about how their winning percentage in the month of May was maybe the worst May winning percentage in Blue Jays franchise history. So now is the time for these Bisons to turn this corner and to be performing as they've been performing over these last few weeks, because now big league club might need some help.
Right. And it could come in the form of Tyler Heineman right now, who's on the taxi squad because Danny Jansen dealing with an injury that he suffered the other day. And again, different organizations have different needs depending on where their big league club sits. And going into this year, we all know why Gabriel Moreno was traded for Dalton Varsho. The Blue Jays had a need in the outfield. Gabby may still be a year or so away from being an everyday catcher behind the plate. And when you already have Danny Jansen and Alejandro Kirk, well, that's the fit you're going to have a catcher. So adding guys like Tyler Heineman, Rob Brantley, even Stevie Berman here as catchers this year, that veteran depth that you can rely on for Brantley, you know, he's been in the big leagues in AAA for a lot of his tenure. So it's having that depth here where other teams, they may be more prospect heavy like Norfolk. You look at them, you know, setting the world on fire this year. They haven't had a prospect pool like this in forever because that's what their organization has been building towards. We've already seen those prospects come through. You've seen them come through. I have. Tyler Murray has seen them. Leo, everybody has seen them come through already. So now this is a more veteran-heavy team that has really needed the ability to call to Buffalo. And whether it's Jay Jackson, Thomas Hatch, Nate Pearson, who's now, you know, consistently throwing the way he did in spring training in the past couple of years, that's what the Blue Jays needed here in AAA. And the Bisons have – their roster has kind of – changed over the last couple of years because of those needs.
And scary to think Jackson Holliday is coming for Norfolk down the road.
Right.
So we'll cross that bridge when we get there for the rest of us rooting on the Bisons in the International League. St. Paul coming to town next week as you return to Salem Field, Pat. And also the ABS system is coming to Buffalo. What is the early take from the roster as far as you know? And what's your thoughts about ABS arriving in AAA?
So for folks that don't know, there's two different ABS systems in play. Tuesday through Thursday is the quote robot, the full ABS, where the Hawkeye system calls the balls and strikes. The umpire has an earpiece in and he still barks out strike or ball, but he gets the information from the ABS. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the umpire calls the game. The team gets three challenges. And if you're successful, you keep it. If you get the challenge wrong, then you lose it for the rest of the game. I think Major League Baseball, the common theme is Major League Baseball is trying to figure out which of the two systems is right for the majors, if not next year, certainly 2 years from now. And early returns, the challenge system really marries the human element of the game that we've, but baseball, I know it's a game that is steeped in tradition in some ways, too much so in that they don't want to change with the times. But I think the challenge system is the way that most expect or envision things to go in the future, because look, the strike zone is the strike zone. It should be uniform. But when you've come through the game for so long and you have the human element of, you know, a quarter inch here or there and a little bit on the top of the zone or the bottom of the zone, that makes a difference. And the other thing I've noticed is the umpires are getting it right more often than they're not. And the umpire, and it's very few and far between that a team is getting a lot of successful challenges because an umpire is getting so many wrong. So I think that, you know, the human element of it, and pitchers are throwing a lot more pitches when it's the full ABS game because you don't get that extended corner, whether you think that's right or wrong. I think the challenge system is the way that most have gravitated towards. And I think that is the way that going forward, Major League Baseball will probably look at that to be the solution if they decide to go ABS in the future.
I'm glad you bring up that point, Pat, about baseball being a game steeped in tradition and history, but we can't allow that to get in the way of evolving with the times and with the audience. It's an entertainment business. What I've been telling people who've been asking us in high A about how we feel about the pitch clock and the bases and all these changes. Look, at the end of the day, we're in the entertainment business. This is an attention economy, to borrow a cliche phrase that has become de rigueur over the last 10 years or so. We've got to get new eyes on this game if we want the game to grow. So we can't be clutching our flannel jerseys and sharpened metal spikes and our greenies all the way into perpetuity. So an opportunity for the game to figure out ways to really step into this next generation of fandom and of baseball with its head and its chest held high, and doing so, trying to get ahead of some of these other changes in sports and in entertainment. Wrapping up with you, Pat, I want to talk about the at-par promotion that Buffalo does. Of course, proximity to the border is terrific. Great opportunity for Blue Jays fans to see those future Blue Jays at Salem Field. How does the at-par promotion work? I should know, living in Canada myself these days, but just straight from the horse's mouth, let's hear it.
Yes, for a couple of more days here, is through the end of May, you can go to Bisons.com if you purchase any single game ticket. Doesn't have to be for the games through May. It can be for any game the rest of the season. Use the promo code Welcome Back, and that'll give you a percentage discount basically equal to the exchange rate right now. So if you want to come to a game in July or August, maybe you're a big Scranton Wilkes-Barre, you want to see the Rail Riders come to town in July, you can buy your tickets, your single game tickets now, use the promo code Welcome Back, and get the Canadian at par. Or if you're coming down to Salem Field between now and May 31st, you have to use Canadian cash. We're unable to do the balance transfer based on credit cards. So we have to be in cash. But again, you can buy your single game tickets for any game. Star Wars Night is coming up next Saturday, June the 3rd. That's our 14th annual Star Wars Night, which should end up being a sellout, but still plenty of tickets available right now. So if you want to join us for that, if you want to cross the border, maybe you're going to be in Buffalo for the day anyway, bring Canadian cash. We'll exchange it at par at the box office. And again, that's through May 31st, but it can be for any game ticket the rest of the season. Does not have to be for one of the next two games in May.
Get out those loonies and toonies. They got you covered at Salem Field. Returning home next week, taking on St. Paul. Then you go on the road to Toledo and return home to take on Syracuse the 13th of June through the 18th. What should we expect in this month of June, Pat, as we wrap things up? And as always, please tell us how we can find your broadcasts.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to go back to Toledo for the first time in 4 years. Coming up in a couple of weeks. You can find us at Bisons.com. We have the game streaming always on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. For those of you that may be in an Odyssey affiliated network, just search the Bet 1520. That is the radio station, 1520 AM in Western New York, the 50,000 watt flamethrower. Maybe you're listening in Southern Maryland. You can usually pick us up on a clear night in the summer. So, but again, you can find us on the Odyssey app. Duke McGuire and I have a lot of fun at our home games throughout the summer. And if you're tuning in, I always love to hear from you. So you can always send me a tweet as well at PatWGR and tell me where you're listening from. And we'll certainly mention it on the air.
The dulcet tones of Pat and Duke taking over the entire Northeast. We love it. Pat, thanks as always. Cheers to a great finish there in Lehigh Valley. We'll speak to you again 2 weeks from now as you join us from Toledo. Looking forward to getting your hot takes from Toledo for your first time there in over 4 years. But Pat, as always, cheers to you. Go Bisons and arrivederci.
Thanks, Tyler. Take care.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's Pat Malacaro from AAA Buffalo, and now making his Around the Nest debut, joining us live from Hadlock Field in the forest city of Portland, Maine, Gareth Kwok. Gareth, good day. Double A New Hampshire, you're doing your thing. First year with the Fisher Cats. First and foremost, please introduce yourself. Give us a little bit of your background. How did you find your way to the Eastern League?
Yeah, Tyler, thanks so much for having me. I'm Gareth Kwok, and as you said, first year with the Fisher Cats, and was previously the broadcasting community and public relations assistant for the Frederick Keys, formerly the high affiliate of the Orioles, currently now in the MLB Draft League. But this is my fourth season in calling baseball. But first, you could say in affiliated baseball, and it's been everything I could have expected so far, just getting to, you know, get to see some future big leaguers and, of course, a great organization in Toronto. And so just happy to be here. And I did hear this episode will help me develop my wings and spread and fly. Is that how it goes, I suppose? But
that's how
it
goes.
We'll see how I do.
We're all clutchlings here, myself included, even though it is my sixth season in the Blue Jays system. Pat's been doing it for even longer. Leo has been a Blue Jays fan by hook or by crook. Maybe since out the womb. I actually haven't asked Leo Mui, our producer, how long he's been a Jays fan, but that would be my assumption. And so for you, Gareth, this week in Hadlock so far, kind of a heartbreaker. Walk-off loss. The guy who hit the walk-off for the Sea Dogs, the Red Sox affiliate, hit two home runs on his birthday. Then you had a solid start from Sam Roberta, but things just didn't go his way. It didn't go the Cats' way in a daytime loss. What's been going on this week for the Fisher Cats, who are hovering right around 500 these days?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it's been about, you know, 500 baseball. They never get too hot. They never get too cold. It seems like they're kind of just hovering up, you know, around, you know, floating around, you could say. But yeah, I was going to say, because Portland and New Hampshire, these first eight games against each other, Portland came in and took 4 of 6 that first homestand, but they were all very close games. And I went back and checked, and eight games so far between New Hampshire and Portland, 7 of them have been decided by just 2 runs or less. So they've all been very, you know, close contested games, great pitching. And at the end, there's kind of just one big swing or one big play that eventually determines the game. And this week it's been Portland with the home run ball, with, as you mentioned, Stephen Scott with 2 home runs on his 26th birthday, I believe. And it just so happens, you know, on the final strike, he's down to his final strike. Troy Watson, who's been, you know, been pitching very well throughout most of the season. And, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow. And then Sam Roberta, who's done a very good job yesterday in the daytime start. And he's 1 out away from getting through 6 strong. And then he gives up the home run to Sadon Rafaela. So they've become awfully close, Tyler, to getting past, you know, just kind of that one little hiccup. And it turns out they're on the wrong side of the result, unfortunately.
Let's stick with the pitching. There's been some really excellent pitching for the Cats, Watson and Robertson included. But Chad Dallas, I have a very selfish interest in this because Chi spent all of last year with us in High A Vancouver and started the season with us again here in 2023. lights out. I mean, Cheese was overcooked in High A. He was long overdue for the promotion. Of course, other moves have to happen to make room. And so he gets called up. In fact, he won Northwest League Pitcher of the Week to start the month of May with six strong. And he goes up to New Hampshire and has his career best outing. I believe, what, seven scoreless, two hits, and nine strikeouts to earn Eastern League Pitcher of the Week in his debut?
You hit it right on the nail. It's seven innings, which apparently that's his career long. He had never gone six innings in his pro career until his double A debut. So Steve and I, we were there, and we were certainly treated to Cheese on last Friday. But as you mentioned, just the stuff that he brings with the, you know, the mid-90s fastball, the slider seemed to be really clicking for Dallas. And, you know, he had it looked like he had a power curveball. It was like hovering in the mid to high 80s or something like that. So I couldn't even determine whether it was a slider or if it was his curveball. It was just so nasty. But, you know, and talking with Cesar Martin too about it on the pregame show, it was just like, Cesar, I mean, what'd you make of Cheese and Chad? And he was like, man, that guy was dominant on Friday. So it was very much an impressive debut. I'm sure, you know, set the bar very high, of course, for himself. But I think that's what a lot of, you know, those inside the organization, the system, were anticipating to see. And, you know, we're hoping to see that he continues that success moving forward the rest of the way with the Fisher Cats.
Cheese does seem to have a penchant for winning League Pitcher of the Week honors in his first start at the level. It happened last year in his pro debut for the season, April. He won Northwest League Pitcher of the Week. As we mentioned, he got it again in May this year. In fact, the Canadians have won each of the last three Northwest League Pitcher of the Week awards. It was Dallas the first week of May. Then you had Trenton Wallace, the lefty, who actually took the loss here in Spokane last night, had his roughest start of the year, still went five innings for the sixth time in seven tries, only gave up three runs, really solid again, and matched a season high with eight strikeouts. And then a guy drafted out of Long Beach State last year, Devereaux Harrison, former dirtbag. He was last week's Northwest League Pitcher of the Week for five shutout frames against Tri-City as part of Vancouver's two-week road trip, which we'll get to a little bit later. Another guy, Gareth, who's been very good on the mound and somebody who we've certainly been waiting on to get good is Adam Klopfenstein, somebody who at one time was a top pitching prospect for the Blue Jays and is still considered a guy with a very high ceiling, just 22 years old, but it feels like he's been around forever because he pitched twice in Vancouver, then again in High A, back with the Fisher Cats this year after making his double A debut in 2022. What's been working for Klopfenstein from your perspective?
From my perspective, it to me, the command has been much improved from Clough, and especially with, you know, the slider and his cutter, and it's just been breaking with great break, and he loves to throw it to left-handed batters, especially towards that back foot. And, you know, these hitters are flailing and they're off balance. And so you can tell that he's been relying on that pitch a lot to get swings and misses. And just the way I've been impressed with the way he's bounced back after his first couple starts, where he gave up five earned runs total in those first two starts, and now he's given up five earned runs in his last six starts. So he's just been really, you know, finding a way to locate the ball well, get swings and misses, and then when he does get into trouble, you know, just staying composed and finding a way to get out of it and not trying to be perfect. Let your defense help out, and if the strikeout comes, the strikeout comes. And, you know, talking to him a couple of weeks ago about, hey, what do you feel like has been that kind of switch for you, that change? And he felt like last year at Double A, he was trying to be a little bit, you know, too perfect. He was trying to do everything, you know, pinpoint all the spots perfectly, get through everything, just kind of, you know, at an unreasonable, you know, expectation. Now he's just kind of relaxing himself down, calming himself down, and just letting himself throw. And I feel like that's become, we've seen it. He just looks more loose. He looks more free. The command is there. The swings and misses are there, and, you know, he's been pitching lights out really these last, you know, 5 or 6 weeks.
How about some bullpen guys who might be pitching free and lights out of late?
Well, it's been fun to watch Hagen Danner ever since he came on in earlier at the first week of this month after the rehab assignment in Dunedin, and just, I mean, lights out with the power arm, you know, mid to high 90s fastball, the slider, got a big curveball as well. He, you know, started off his first five outings or so without giving up a run. Luis Quinones is another guy who's sort of been a veteran with the Fisher Cats, but Q has been just doing what Q does. He just, you know, in this year especially as well, you know, making that switch from the rotation in 2022 to now really being exclusively a reliever.
But I feel like that's helped him just in a way settle down, and he's getting a lot of swings and misses with his splitter, and the command's been good as well with Quiñones. And so he's just one of those guys where you feel like he could be ready to make that bump up to AAA. He already made, I think, a weekend stint there. So he's, I think, definitely been showing off very well. And the bullpen, the pitching has been a big reason why the Fisher Cats have been able to kind of stay afloat, you could say.
Let's transition to the plate. No update from AA New Hampshire is complete without talking about Aurelvis Martinez, who in the last 2 weeks is batting .286 with 7 home runs and an OPS of 1.198. Now, much has been said about Aurelvis's inability to post batting average. Obviously, the slugging is there. The power is very much there, but the strikeout numbers have been too high. In fact, you see it in the prospect reports coming from the big leagues. Guys like Keegan Mathison, you know, the beat writer for the Blue Jays, writing about how Aurelvis has certainly had the power continue to develop, but the hitting for average has been trailing behind. But of late, it seems like O has started to really hit more for average while maintaining that power stroke.
Yeah, he had a big stretch from May 10th to the 17th. He had 7 home runs in 6 games. I mean, he treated Reading First Energy Stadium like it was Coors Field. I mean, he was, anytime he stepped into the batter's box, you were just wondering what this guy was going to do and whether it was going to be, you know, he was going to go to the right field or straight away center. If he was going to pull it, you know, and show off his power. 7 home runs in those 6 games with 13 RBIs. He had a 5 RBI game during that stretch. And like you said, I think the average, of course, is what, you know, a lot are sort of looking at, you know, under 200. But, you know, the home runs and 12 of his 20 hits have been home runs. And so whenever the guy can put I think that's just the question, if he can make more consistent contact, because when he does, it goes a long way. It's loud. You can tell. And so for Aureldis Martinez, we're just hoping to see whether he can continue to, yeah, make more consistent contact. If he can lay off the off speed, it looks like a lot of pitchers are trying to get him to swing and miss on breaking pitches, try and pitch him backwards. And as of late, the last 4 games, he's drawn a walk. So he's starting to, you know, pick up a little bit the off speed and maybe not chase the pitches that he was chasing the first couple weeks of the season. So that's been something to note as well.
And easy to forget about his youth, a guy who has been challenged by Toronto and certainly has found ways to make an impact despite some of the struggles. And for context, his 12 home runs, of course, leading your ball club there in AA New Hampshire. The team leaders in High A Vancouver are Kay Doty, a second round pick last year out of LSU, and Alex DeJesus, who was part of that trade for Mitch White that brought him over from the Dodgers last year. Those two guys have 4 home runs. So that's the team leader here in Vancouver, 4 home runs for DeJesus and Doty, 12 home runs for Aurelvis Martinez. Now, on the batting average side, you wake up this morning, Miguel Giraldo batting .275. Now, we saw Miggy here all last season in High A. The batting average never got that high in May.
And Giraldo is another guy that had a stretch where he had an 8-game hit streak, and he was finding holes through the defense. He was showcasing a little bit of power as well in the Reading series, showing off the opposite field home run and the opposite field power and what he can showcase. So there's going to be times where, you know, he's still young. He's swinging and missing at the off speed, and that's just going to come with time. And with more experience, more at bats, you know, you're going to pick up the sliders, you're going to pick up the curveballs and changeups, and eventually lay off. But you can tell from already when this guy puts the, you know, the bat on the ball that it's solid contact and it can get through. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, a fly ball or if it's a line drive, hard ground ball. You know, he's finding different ways to put the ball in play and get on base. And definitely a guy where you could see, you know, 20 plus home run power, even more 25 plus home run power as he continues to grow into his frame. And so I think it's just another case of he's getting valuable experience at the AA level, facing good pitching, but he's also showing glimpses of what he can do when he's at his best.
A new addition coming your way. In fact, we sent him fresh to you from Spokane's Avista Stadium the other night. Riley Tirada, which was the corresponding move for Trevor Schwecke getting the call up to AAA Buffalo, which we heard from Pat giving his Bisons updates. We haven't seen Riley yet make his debut for the Fisher Cats, but from what you've heard just in the early goings, Gareth, I'm going to make you go out on a limb here. Where do you see Riley Tirada, who finished his tenure in Vancouver batting north of 300, was among league leaders in extra base hits, was a guy who also found his way on that league leaderboard in the Northwest League for slugging percentage and OPS, also sneaky fast. He had five steals before he got promoted, and a guy who can play both corner infield positions quite well. What are some of the rumblings for how Riley's going to affect the Fisher Cats?
Well, as you said, I mean, corner infield seems like a perfect spot for him right now, given Schwecki was playing a lot of corner infield. He's playing some second base, even shortstop at times too. And with, you know, Luis De Los Santos being promoted to Buffalo a couple weeks ago, you know, Aurelvis has been playing a lot of shortstop these last couple of weeks, leaving third base open. So it just seems like a logical fit for Tirada to fit in and just be an impact with his bat, which, seeing the numbers already with Vancouver, already very encouraging signs from, you know, 2022 when he had a couple stints on the injured list to now, you know, staying healthy and being able to hit over 300 there. And if he can translate that to an offense for the Fisher Cats, that it certainly, you know, it has had its ups and downs. There's home runs here and there. There's also times there's 10, 11 strikeouts, 12 strikeouts. So if he can certainly stabilize just that lineup and provide, you know, a presence there, I think will certainly help Cesar Martin, certainly help hitting coach Mitch Huckabee, and for the Fisher Cats.
As we wrap up with you, Gareth, before we talk about how we could tune into your broadcast, and I have one little surprise question for you as well. What are some guys, or who are some guys, to use the proper English, that maybe we haven't talked about yet in this episode who deserve a little bit of shine for Double A New Hampshire?
I think the first name that comes to mind, Stuart Baroa. Stuart's been a guy that has been lighting up the base paths. He's top five in steals right now. Just picked up his 16th steal on Thursday in Portland. And just a guy, well, and besides the high energy, just a great guy to be around and talk to. But, you know, from seeing him in center field and the way, not only can he do what he can do on the base paths, but defensively, I mean, he can cover as much ground as anybody in the Eastern League when it comes to chasing fly balls and towards the gaps. And his two-strike approach as well, where he really seems to shorten up and at least just put the ball in play, put pressure on the defense. We know what he can do with his speed. And if he just puts the ball in play, that makes defenders, you know, have to pick up, you know, the internal clock a little bit and an extra second or two, knowing that it's Stuart Baroa. This guy is fast. I got to get the ball quickly. And, you know, there's been times where Stuart's been able to beat some infield hits. He's been able to force some errors from the defense. So, and not to mention a couple of home runs too. He's got three home runs. So he has a little bit of pop. He can do a little bit of everything. But just that speed already is a big, I think, thing that makes him a guy that, you know, under the radar, but you should keep an eye out for him.
Did you hear about how he would participate in Vancouver's Dancing Grounds crew at Rogers Field and at Bailey Stadium last year? Had you heard that story?
I don't think so.
I will send you a great photo that I am keeping in our back pocket here in High A to post on Stuart's birthday, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, I believe, in early June. But you speak about how he plays the game with such passion and is a guy who is so easy to talk to. He is a lightning rod in the clubhouse. A noticeable difference when he got injured down the stretch last year for the season, couldn't participate in the postseason. I feel like that was a big hinge on which the later part of Vancouver's season swung, and maybe there's an opportunity for them to rally in that Northwest League Championship Series a season ago instead of getting swept in three games. So Stuart, very much a difference maker, but in Vancouver, we do the Dancing Grounds crew, one of the few minor league hijinks that we do on Ontario Street. And Stu, on his way out to center field, they're dancing at shortstop. He just starts picking up the choreography. It was to a Backstreet Boys song, and he just starts moving his hips, waving his arms in the air like he just doesn't care. A guy who understands it's a game, and yes, it's a job. It deserves to be taken seriously. You need to be able to give your all. But I sat down with him last year in about July and had a 15-minute interview with him about how he views his role. He views what the game means, not just to him, but and not just to his country, but also to the world, and how he views his unique role in that. And it really warms my heart to hear that it's the same Stuart Baroa who's now doing this thing in Double A.
He's the same Stuart Baroa. Every time I talk to him, he's got a big smile on his face. He's always asking, "What? How's it going, man?" You know, it's just that's just the guy he is, and it translates to his play. He looks like he's having so much fun out there. You know, he's doing his dances anytime he makes a, you know, a fly ball, he gets on base. So it's definitely, I think, you know, a guy you want on your team. And every team, I think, can use a Stuart Baroa.
I think he's got a bright future ahead, has already certainly been a bright light up and down the Blue Jays system, and maybe the sweetest slider that I've ever seen. He's got the coolest and smoothest slides, whether it's into home, into second, just a guy who's got so much swagoo, as the kids say. I'm first team Stuart Baroa. Now, Gareth, before we let you get ready for your game tonight at Hadlock Field, I have to know, have you had a Sea Dog biscuit yet?
I have not had a Sea Dog biscuit yet. Is that on the bucket list?
It's got to be. It's you know, it's just a chocolate chip cookie ice cream sandwich, but it just feels like that Hadlock Field, such a special place. I really enjoyed going there. I had a lot of great calls in that building, in that booth that you're in right now. I remember John Birdie, who's now in the big leagues with the Marlins, hit for the natural cycle at Hadlock Field. So single, double, triple, homer, all in order. That was a terrific memory. They fill that place in vacation land. The vibes are high. Despite a couple of losses this week, I know the boys are enjoying themselves. I watched a couple of former Fisher Cats or former Canadian, current Fisher Cats Instagram stories, PK Morris, Phil Clark, Hagen Danner. Those guys are enjoying themselves this week in Portland, and certainly hoping that you're able to do the same. But get that Sea Dog biscuit. And are they still serving media meals in the box? And they're bringing you the box.
Yes. A couple of hot dogs a couple of days ago when we had the 6 o'clock game. It's you know, good old fashioned potato chips. So, you know, they have not changed.
Hadlock Field is a classic, that's for sure. Gareth, you wrap up this series in Portland on Sunday. You're there through the rest of the weekend, and then the Cats are home to take on Reading to wrap up May and begin June. So with that in mind, how can we follow along on your broadcast between you, the esteemed Bob Lippman, and Steve Goldberg?
We're on WGIR, 610 a.m. on the radio, along with Fox Sports 930. You can listen to us on the iHeartRadio app, and if that's not enough for you, you can watch us live as well. Home games on Bally Live app, the MILB.TV, of course. And between me, Bob Lippman, Steve Goldberg. So we cover all the bases. And you can follow me as well on Twitter at Hey G Kwok. That's HEYGKWOK.
Hey G Kwok. And you know what? For me, slightly biased here because of my three seasons at Delta Dental Stadium and with the Cats. Fisher Cats Entertainment Experience, you getting the most bang for your buck on Bally Live and MILB TV. The in-between innings action, shout out to on-field MC Andrew Murray, a.k.a. Rowdy Red. You essentially get a pay-per-view wrestling showdown with Fisher Cats Sumo if you're tuned in on Bally Live and MILB TV every night there at Club Ned in downtown Manchester.
I'm not even kidding you. That's probably my favorite in-between inning entertainment, is seeing Rowdy Red square off with Bubba Blue. And who's going to throw it down in between the game? That might be my favorite in-between inning entertainment I've seen. But yes, Andrew and the guys, they do a phenomenal job all game long to keep the fans on their toes.
Well, speaking of phenomenal jobs, Gareth, a phenomenal debut on Around the Nest. Way to knock it out of the park. You want to talk about your wings getting developed. You're ready to fly out of the nest, my friend, knocking it out of the park.
Am I ready? Am I ready, guys?
You fit right in, Gareth. Thank you very much for joining us from Portland as the Fisher Cats try and take it to those pesky Sea Dogs, and looking forward to having you along as the season continues. Gareth, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate it.
Gareth Kwok, AA New Hampshire, as he gets set for a game against the Sea Dogs tonight. And wow, two levels updated, and feels like we've been talking for over an hour. A great opportunity for Pat and for Gareth to give us all those insights. And without Andrew Trifley from Single A Dunedin today, it is a little bit of a truncated episode, but here's what I'm going to do. Hi, Vancouver. We'll hit the bullet points here. Producer Leo Mui, if you need to get out the cane to pull me off the stage, you can do so. You know, you can yank me off. No personal feelings will be spoiled, but just to update everybody on what's been going on for High A Vancouver of late, they wake up this morning with the best winning percentage in the system, but it's just two games above 500 at 21-19. They are a game back of first place in the Northwest League. It's a bit of a NASCAR race here in High A right now out west. You've got four teams very much in the mix, a fifth team just on the outside looking in, and then the sixth place Hillsboro Hops probably out of it for the first half, which ends on June 22nd, but a great opportunity for the Canadians who are in Spokane for the rest of this weekend to make up some ground, and then taking on the other team in the top three spots in the league, Eugene, when they return to Rogers Field and at Bailey Stadium on Tuesday, May 30th. That's a six-game homestand at the Nat, 30th through June 4th. This week specifically, there have been some very impressive offensive performances. In fact, the Canadians, in the midst of a two-week-long road trip, they had to play 7 games in 6 days in Pasco, Washington, taking on the Angels affiliate, the Tri-City Dust Devils. And the Canadians, in fact, dropped 5 of 7 against the team they beat in 4 of 5 in April in Vancouver. But Tri-City is playing some of their best baseball of the year. That's also one of the best pitching staffs in all of High A, and as high-octane and talented as the Canadians lineup may be, they ran into the buzzsaw in Tri-City. Didn't help themselves. They were batting less than 175 with runners in scoring position in that series. After hitting a robust 263 with runners in scoring position in April, though, once they got to Spokane, which was certainly a big series that had been circled even weeks ago because the first three games of the year had been rained out. So we knew this was going to be an 8-game, 6-day series this week here in the Lilac City. The Seas started hot. They swept the doubleheader on Tuesday morning, but have lost 2 straight, an 11-6 beatdown on Wednesday, but they made it interesting late. And then last night, Thursday night, 7-1 going into the top of the ninth, and the Canadians managed to bring the tying run to the plate in the form of Alan Roden. Bases were loaded, 2 outs, and Roden, who has reached base in 21 straight games. He has been a fantastic surprise this year. Third rounder out of Creighton last season. He's making his High A debut. I'll talk about that more in just a bit. But Roden hits a deep drive to right, and the right fielder catches it at the base of the wall, 8 feet or less shy of being a game-tying grand slam. So Spokane, for their part, the pitching is not good, but the Indians have the best offense in the entire Northwest League and one of the most high-octane offenses in all of High A. So they have certainly showed that off over these last couple of games. But the Seas are going to send reigning Florida State League Pitcher of the Month, Rafael Sanchez, to the mound tonight. That game will be at 6:35 Pacific, but it'll be in the past by the time people are tuned into this episode. So here's to hoping Rafael Sanchez can turn it around after a rough High A debut last week. And I have to talk about Josh Kasevich, second round pick out of Oregon last year. He has a hit in 7 consecutive games, which is a personal best. And after a semi-slow start to April, he has been fantastic in these last 2 weeks of May. He has 14 hits in 28 at-bats on this road trip. That's math even I can do. And I got an English degree from a liberal arts college. He's batting 500 since we left Vancouver and has done so. Let's count it up in my head here. Has played in 7 of the Canadiens' 11 games on this road trip, and he has 14 hits in those 7 games played, including his first career 4-hit game, which took place last week in Tri-City. So Kasevich is heating up. He's among league leaders in batting average as well as on base percentage. And I got to go back to Alan Roden, who wakes up today with a .303 batting average. That's the 8th best in the Northwest League. He's gotten on base in 21 straight games, and it's not like he's walking and getting hit by pitch. He's batting .326, 28 for 86 in his last 21 games, 11 doubles, 2 home runs, 17 runs scored, 13 RBI, 11 walks, and yes, he has been hit 3 times. He leads the team, that is, in bruises. And then if you extrapolate that out, he's played in 32 games this year. The pride of Middleton, Wisconsin, has reached base in 31 of those 32 games, and he will lead off and be the designated hitter in Friday night's game for the Seas as he continues to be a stalwart at the top of the order and a terrific addition in the corner outfield spots in his first full season as a pro. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up Rainer Nunez, number 26 Blue Jays prospect, who had a breakout 2022 offseason, was terrific. In fact, he is the reigning rookie of the year in the Dominican Winter League for Estrellas Orientales. They love him still down there in the Dominican. They're always posting about Rainer. And this week, 7 for 15 with 3 doubles and a homer. His average is among league best. In fact, he's batting .312, 4th highest in the circuit. The power numbers haven't quite been there. In fact, he just hit his 2nd and 3rd home runs of the season on this road trip, but he went a month between his first homer in Everett in April and then his 2nd home run, a 450-foot Ruthian blast at Pasco's Giza Stadium last week. So the power numbers are coming around for Rainer. He had a 9-game hitting streak earlier this season, and in his first 33 games in High A this season, he has 39 hits. And I love using the barometer of where if you're averaging 1 hit per game played, you're having a really good season. And that is certainly what the case is for Rainer Nunez, a couple of other guys, Gabby Martinez, 32 hits in 33 games, and some surprises like Devontae Brown, who was unsigned out of NC State last year and has made his high A debut this season, has had a 6 RBI game and a 5 RBI game. He is behind Rainer, who leads the team with 22 RBI. Devontae from Noonan, Georgia, 21 runs batted in, and he's done that in just 24 games. So Rainer has played in 9 more games than Devontae, but only has 1 more RBI. So despite the fact that the Canadians, who at one point won 12 of 15 games, are scuffling a little bit here at the end of May, the first half ends on June 22nd. The Canadians still in a great spot to win the first half, to punch their ticket to the postseason, which begins in late September. And of course, we've got an entire second half to come as well. Leo Mui, our producer in the chat, talking about Josh Kasevich and his glasses, which was our episode thumbnail for our first episode. And I do believe, Leo, that the glasses and the continued work starting to pay off. In fact, he has continued to be a stalwart on defense as well. This is a fun team to watch. Even guys like Garrett Spain, 15th round pick out of Austin Peay State in 2021, spent all last year with Vancouver as kind of the fourth outfielder, began this year on the development list. But this week in 2 games here in Spokane, 4 for 8, and he's hit for the cycle, a single, double, triple, and a homer. He's driven in 4 runs, and he's got 6 extra base hits and 17 games played. So Brent LaValle, second-year skipper out of North Delta, BC, he's got the weapons needed. The pitching has been solid for the most part. They've improved on the walks. Trenton Wallace took the loss yesterday, gave up 2 walks and struck out 8 over 5 innings, but there have been guys who have been stepping up, even guys like Adam Macko, who of course was part of that trade coming over from the Mariners with Eric Swanson in the Teoscar Hernandez deal. He had a bit of a scuffle on Wednesday here in Spokane when he gave up 5 runs on 7 hits over 4, but his stuff has been solid. He has looked very comfortable on the mound, and of course it's his first season in the Blue Jays org, so imagine you move to a new school as a kid. It's going to take you a little while to find your groove. And for Adam Macko, that groove is coming. So lots of positives for the Canadians. And despite a road trip in which they've won 4 of 11 games, they're playing close games. They find ways to stay scrappy late. They were trailing 11-1 after 6 innings on Wednesday night here in Spokane and scored 5 unanswered between the 7th and the 9th. So while the game got out of hand early, the big inning has certainly been a little bit of a problem for the Canadians pitching staff. The offense is tenacious. You don't see these guys giving away in many outs. And really, especially at this time of the year, really great to see these guys continue to find ways to battle. The development is happening. The winning is happening. And we've heard from Pat and Gareth, lots of individual performers doing quite well. And that is certainly the case here in High A as well. One other guy, before I wrap up my monologue about the season, we wrap up this episode, TJ Brock, hard throwing right-hander out of Ohio State, sub 1.5 ERA, a guy who strikes out opposing batters with aplomb as a terrific upper 90s heater. He can rack it up to 100 miles per hour as needed. And he also has some great breaking stuff. He is that high leverage arm who seems to be coming in games basically every other night. And Brock, certainly somebody to keep an eye on, drafted out of Ohio State. So he already has that big time program pedigree, and joining the likes of Connor Cook and Mason Fluharty, who were recently promoted to AA, TJ Brock, next man up to get promoted from Vancouver's bullpen. Certainly a much better month of May up and down the system as opposed to April, which is a little coincidental because the big league club has done the opposite, but it's a long season and a friendly reminder to anybody out there who might be saying, oh, the Blue Jays, they're done for the year. Fire John Schneider. It's May 26th. I get it. It's the AL East. It's the best team, or rather best division in baseball that features the best team in baseball in the Tampa Bay Rays. Blue Jays couldn't do anything about that. Yes, could they beat Tampa Bay instead of losing 2 out of 3? They could have won that series, sure. But just everybody tuning in who might be thinking it's an emergency at the top level of the ladder, not yet. May 28th, talent in the system. There are pieces that are going to come back to full health in the big leagues as well as in the upper levels of the minors. And it's only May. And this is coming from a long-suffering Padres fan in Tyler Zickle here in High A Vancouver, who is having a little bit of a similar experience with my hometown club, who have, of course, decided to pay their players a GDP of a mid-sized country. And in this case, it's not working so far for the Padres, though the Blue Jays, a game above 500 as we speak on this Friday, certainly with the pieces to reinforce that big league club this year and in seasons to come, which is one of the many reasons we love Around the Nest each and every episode to talk about the future of the Jays and the not so distant future as well. Great place to stop. Long episode today. Many thanks to all for tuning in. We're going to keep it coming. We'll be back 2 weeks from now. And just a little inside baseball for our listeners. We choose the schedule. We go as Pat Malacaro goes because of the one-man band that is Pat in terms of his media relations department at Salem Field. We got to get those AAA Buffalo Bisons updates. And the best time to get Pat is on the road. So if you're looking for new Around the Nest content as the season goes along, head to Bisons.com. Check out their schedule. If Buffalo's on the road, you can almost guarantee that we're going to be recording an episode on the Friday of that road trip. And that was the case for this episode as well. Another fun one, Leo, our producer, certainly getting us going each and every time. Our heart, soul, and spirit, esprit de corps, Leo Mui. Cheers to you, my friend. Cheers as well to all of our contributors today. Pat Malacaro from AAA Buffalo, Gareth Kwok making his Around the Nest debut. He's going to fit right in. Looking forward to hearing more of Gareth. And of course, we'll get Steve Goldberg back along the way. And we will hear from the legendary New Hampshire Broadcasting Hall of Famer, Bob Lippman, as this season continues as well. And I know Andrew Trifley from Single A Dunedin is going to have tons of terrific tidbits when we catch up with him 2 weeks from now. But that'll do it for another edition of Around the Nest. Tyler Zickle signing out from Spokane Valley, Washington, where the Canadians wrap up their series with the IA affiliate of Colorado. And if you're in Vancouver next week, won't you join us at Rogers Field at Nat Bailey Stadium Tuesday through Sunday? This has been another edition of Around the Nest.